Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Dirty 30 Wrap-Up Podcast for Episode 6. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
Brian, I'm great. First of all, I want to say, just to address last week, I hate missing any week. I really do. But it's no secret that I'm a big fan of Dane's when he comes. I just become a fan of the show. I listened to you guys. I thought it was a really great episode. And I think episode of the podcast. And I think that it's great that Dane was here because I was agreeing with everything you said. And I thought it's always more interesting when someone has different opinions. So I think it was a great week for Dane to tap in.
Plus, God forbid you agree with me, then people might think we're actually friends as opposed to like bitter enemies. So we can't be having any of that hint.
I like to have a neutral reputation with you. Like, you know, right. We barely know each other.
Can't be tipping the scales either direction.
I do also want to say, everyone who has been bearing with our tech issues, we hear you. We hear the quality of the show after. We hate it. We're working on it. We were just workshopping earlier, so hopefully we should be all set, squared away. But thanks everyone who survived with us.
Next week, though, we're going to be talking out of like cardboard boxes, and we'll just talking into that. So we might make it even worse. Because sometimes if it gets better, I think people might like miss the old days. I'm like, oh, remember that time? Like every other word was like choppy. I kind of miss that.
Did you like save some cereal boxes from your homemade like eclipse viewing?
Oh, I got them all. I might wear the glasses too because the takes might be too hot to even look at.
Whoa. Can I permission to weigh in on one thing you guys discussed last week?
Permission always granted.
Because I will say, well, be careful what you wish for then, because let me take out my notebook on notes from the, no, I didn't. I was listening like any, really, like I was just a fan of the podcast, like being like, oh, I totally agree. Ooh, I didn't think of that. But nothing really to add, except you guys did talk about the suggestion, I guess Amanda made, that they should have been able to call someone out to get revenge on someone. And that's how they should have like competed for their spot. Mm-hmm. It did make me think I would have liked potentially sort of what Big Brother did if Jenna and Tony, then the only way the winners of the showdown could get back into the house is to then call someone out. And you probably would have had like Jenna go for Jemmy because she's the weakest. And also the revenge, you probably would have had Tony go for Ammo. But like, it would have been a layer of excitement that like the house gets the opportunity to keep someone out. And, you know, if you lose two like weaker competitors, big whoop.
Yeah, that could have been a possibility. I don't mind the way they did it. I think this is not a kind of a typical way for like a redemption story to play out. So I was fine the way they handled it. Any other twist they could have done, but it almost would have added too many challenges into one. They already did like, what, three rounds of this. So I thought it was fine.
Yeah, all in all, I mean, I have nothing else really to add about the episode. I thought you guys did a great job. Dane's welcome anytime. One time we were confused on who was going to sub out, and I thought you were suggesting Dane would sub for you, and I would get to talk to Dane. I'm anxiously awaiting that opportunity.
Well, we'll pull the whole switcheroo one time.
I will say, we could be leading here to a spinoff challenge podcast of Johnny Langan and Dane doing a show.
They'll be our rivals partners going forward.
Yeah, that I'm in for it.
We'll have all the other one-offs. We'll all form together, and then we'll be taken out by the swarm of replacements.
When there's a reality show, and I feel like we're probably not far away from it, when there's a reality show about podcasters, I will retire from podcasting.
And then there'll be a podcasting show about podcasting. And then soon it'll be like the fourth wall. There'll be a reality show about people who podcast about a show about podcasters. And then both the world will just self-implode.
Cue everyone trying to get a show about podcasting now so that I retire from the podcast.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right. Should we talk about Yes Booty?
Sure. We have the fortune teller and Marie, who's like the silent Bob of the duo.
I will say this has to be the laziest and best episode title I've ever seen. Yes, Booty.
I need to pay more attention to titles because I especially before the episode, I usually see them like after it, like when I'm about to like delete the episode off my DVR. And then I'm like, oh, that's a funny title. And I'll notice it until after. So mental note for myself to look at it before.
It's a real amuse-bouche for me when I get to see the episode title before the episode, because I'm like, Wow, this is really going to set me up for this episode. Yes, booty. Although, not that I'm a foodie. I think today for dinner I had an Angry Orchard hard cider and a spoonful of peanut butter, so I shouldn't be talking about amuse-bouches.
I mean,
especially
because
I sound like I'm from the Jersey Shore.
Me.
Anyway, enough about me. Yes, booty. You brought up Raj and Bellini. Another food item, Bellini, is that I love.
Let's just keep going down the rabbit hole. What else do you love? What other foods? What other random foods?
I will say, we did get a question that I'm so self-absorbed that anytime anyone asks us a spin-off question of like, oh, how do you feel about this? I pull it. So we'll get self-indulgent later in the episode.
That's what we're here for.
So I'm just trying to get off to stop talking.
But yes, the Tori as a Russian fortune teller. I didn't think that's where she was going when she was wearing the costume at first. I thought she was going like a mobster or something like that. I didn't think she was like a Russian accent was coming. She didn't look Russian from her costume, so that was interesting.
Should I get you into some trouble and ask what looks Russian?
She just, I don't know, like that mustache doesn't seem like a Russian mustache. It just seems like a hardened criminal mustache or something. I don't know.
I will say the biggest shocker to me in this was that Bellini was Marie. It took me 5 minutes until they said like Bellini parentheses Marie, because I didn't know who that was. It's like they put the wig on her and I was like, is that Nicole? I was like, who is that person?
When in doubt, just guess it's Nicole because she is the many-faced god, so she could be anyone at any time.
I will say, like, this was one of the sadder moments to me for Marie, because she's like complaining in the confessional that nobody was looking at her. Like, you're playing a silent fortune teller. Who's going to be looking at you? And then she is like shaking her hips like, I don't even know. Like, she was like one of the dashboard hula girls. Like, it was just very, like, so sad, just trying to get attention. I'm like, not. I'm out on Marie.
Yeah, I'm so out. I mean, to think, like you said, we're self-absorbed. She's to think that people aren't looking at you because of like you voting in Jenna is the most self-absorbed thing. No one cares that you did that. She's so oblivious to like, oh my God, she sucks. I hate her.
And I like self-absorbed. Like, you're not going to get me dissing someone for being self-absorbed. This was just like sad. It's
she's
sad.
A silent character. Why would she be the focus of the duo? It'd be like if we did a podcast and one of us was silent and be like, no one really like responded to anything I was doing. Like, because you were silent.
Don't give the listeners any ideas to ask that I be silent on the rest of the episodes.
But how about Leroy's emphasis about why he's a dirty player, because he's not dirty?
I mean, you will always get me to be a fan of yours when you're self-aware. Like, Leroy has to be the most self-aware contestant on the show.
It's great. It's just weird that we're at episode 6 and people are still trying to justify their position of being on this season. Like, shouldn't that have just been like an episode 1 like thing? Why are we still talking about why people are dirty?
I mean, that has to be cut. I mean, who knows when it was said, but that has to be cut because Camilla like bitches about being Leroy's partner because he's a follower.
Who's
right?
Camilla like, to bitch about being anyone's partner? Why is Camilla like the second coming? Like, let's chill out here, Camilla. You won us one season like 10 years ago. What are you talking about?
I mean, I thought after last season we were going to say like Camilla actually deserved her place in the champions.
I mean, sure, she's good, but like Leroy's just as good. I think if Leroy's caught a break or two, he would easily have like one championship just like Camilla. Like, she can relax.
I was going to say like Camilla and Leroy are probably about as equal as you can get in terms of performance and having strengths and weaknesses, both in the social game and in the physical game. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, Camilla, just like at this point, I'm really tired. I think you said in the last episode that like Nani is someone who could possibly be due for a comeback. Like, Camilla would be so well served. I mean, we're a broken record at this point. So well served by taking a couple seasons off where we would miss her shit. But now I feel like she has to like, even when there's nothing for her to be doing or fighting about, she makes these fights that are just so manufactured. You know, there's no finesse to the drama anymore, Camilla. Like, take a week off, and by week I mean year, and come back and go Camillinator, and we'll have a tolerance for it. Yeah.
And speaking of taking a couple seasons off, we get Jemmy's explanation about why she took a couple seasons off, which is obviously not as lighthearted as why we want Camilla to take a couple seasons off. But it was good to see Jemmy talking about it, because we always see, you know, Diem's passing is like the big story that a lot of people on the channels talk about. And Knight's always gotten a little forgotten about just because of the timing and stuff. But I always like Knight, so I was glad he got a little shine here.
Yeah, I at first was like shocked when Corey's like, oh, why did you take time off? And just like shows where Corey's been in terms of his challenge history. Like, he definitely doesn't have the Nelson level reverence for the challenge.
Right.
But oh my God, this night segment, like, I cried. I'm not going to lie to you. There was no alcohol involved in the watching of this episode, and I wept during this this segment. Like, they were babies. I was a baby when I watched New Orleans. Like, this was all just very emotional for me. So I agree. Yeah. I was happy to see this segment.
I mean, I'm actually looking. When was Real World New Orleans? That was probably like 2010?
I thought it was before that.
Was it even before that? Let's see. Real World. This is riveting stuff. Real World New Orleans. Oh, God. There's probably like three of them, right? So I'm not going to get the actual one. Ninth season. Nope, not that one. Yeah, 2010. Bang. Nailed
wow.
it.
You know what it is? Is like, I still think it's 2013. So I'm like, no, it's got to be longer than that. But I forgot we were in 2017.
Yeah. June 30th to September 22nd, 2010. There you go.
But yeah, I fondly remember New Orleans and Knight and Jemmy. So that was a welcome walk down memory lane and a well-deserved tribute for Knight, as you said. Something that didn't make me cry or feel anything positive was the war path that Jordan went on.
See, Jordan makes it very hard sometimes to be on his side because he's obviously in the right here. It's like these people are disgusting and it's horrible to live in a house where people like leave dirty dishes all over the place. But he does it in such a way that is like, I think someone said so condescending and so just like put off-y that like you can't take Jordan's side, because obviously they should just put their dishes in the sink and clean up after themselves, but he also doesn't have to be such a douchebag about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like what people say, like when you're playing Survivor or you're playing any game like this, like you just bite your tongue. You just shut up when something like this happens, because you're still playing a game where you're going to be voted in potentially based on your actions, as he sees later. And the other thing that's frustrating is like, while he might be right, like it is gross, he's just so stupid about his arrogant remark. Like, he's acting arrogant and above everyone, but he sounds so dumb. Like, I'm no mathematician, but there are no statistics on jam jar lids. Like, that made no sense. Statistically, you'd think you'd get one. Like, what are you even talking about?
This was a big night for people using words that they don't really know them, like where to use them in. We'll see with Nelson later, but also here. Like, this had nothing to do with statistics. He was just trying to sound smart and, again, condescending. But, like, statistic would say, well, a jar would find a lid someplace. But, like, he's a very tough person to be a fan of.
Yeah, you'll get no argument on that from me. Speaking of what you were speaking of, I don't know where to put this question because I missed this. So I'm just going to go out of order. Wendy Zhang says, did you want to hit Nelson every time he incorrectly used the word condone? I have to say that this is another Kayla moment for me, because if I didn't notice this, like, am I also dumb? When was he saying condone?
It was in the deliberation amongst everyone. I think he was talking about Jordan. He's like, I don't remember the exact comment, but he was basically saying we shouldn't condone. I don't remember the actual word he was trying to say. It was very similar to condone. I need to like hear the scene back, but it was not the right word.
Breeze right by me.
Yeah, it was very bad though.
All right, so I actually will go back and watch that, because now I could use a laugh, you know, at somebody else's expense.
And he says it like three or four times in like two sentences, so it's very prevalent.
Oh, that's amazing. Andrew Kirk. So this is the self-indulgent question. Andrew Kirk says, what is something that you guys hate being left open in your house? Statistically.
Statistically, I hate when the garbage can doesn't have a lid on top.
Oh.
Is that
interesting? I thought you were going to say like your decade-old water that almost poisoned you. I still have not forgotten that.
No, that actually still had the cap on, so that was all good.
I'm a disgusting mess to no one's surprise, so nothing bothers me when I do it. Said my house, other people's house, probably everything. Mm-hmm. But I'm hypocritical and self-absorbed, so what do you want?
All right, we're each perfect. It's everyone else in the world that's wrong.
But yeah, if anyone wants to ask a personal question about us, again, like, I am so obsessed with myself that I'll pull that every time. So thanks, Andrew Kirk. I want to know from you, because I hate when any loser gets power. What did you think of the Redemption House people getting the right to make the pairs for the challenge?
See, when I first heard TJ say that, I was like, oh, they actually, like, it is weird that they're getting like a bonus to do this. But in reality, it was probably not even like a good thing. It's just like a lot of pressure not to pair people together. And you probably knowing these people, they'll probably make a lot of wrong decisions. And as a couple of people mentioned, it's a way that, you know, they have to kind of show their cards to people about who they want to be paired with good people and who they don't. So it's probably not even a good thing for them that they had this type of power.
I thought so, too. I think they cut to Jenna saying that. And I was like, oh, OK, maybe I'm not as angry. But then when you see the way the pairs shake out, it's like they took a safe route. They definitely got a benefit from it. I mean, you'd think. But Jody, I just did a very weird chuckle after that. But Jody Hartung says, were you surprised at any of the pairs Jenna or Tony put together?
It was weird that they put a lot of strong people together. Like, you would think you'd want, I mean, there's actually a lot of strong people on this cast, so I don't even know what other pairs would be better, but to, like, put CT and Kara together was weird, and to put, you know, like, Leroy and Camilla together, and even, like, Derek and Anissa, like, two veterans to put together. Like, there was weird just combos. It was almost like these pairs would be, like, how they, everyone else would look to pair themselves together.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that's why it's like the safe cop out choice, because you have Tony and Jenna who are being completely deferential to like the power players in the house who are not even like giving a shit if they're going to win, or in Tony's case, put him in a position to lose. I thought the most surprising pick, maybe the only surprising pick of the day, was Tony picking Tori. And not because I don't think Tori is a strong pick, but, you know, I was at least surprised to see a rookie Are You the One girl get picked first by someone like Tony, who I wouldn't think would make such a strong pick. Like, I think he would want to, you know, I would have thought, I mean, his relationships with Kara and Camilla are pretty terrible, but you'd think maybe he would have wanted to go with Kayla or something like that, someone more obviously in his like pseudo alliance. But it does, if anything, speak to how well Tori has positioned herself in the house.
Yeah, I mean, we've been very impressed with Tori, and obviously it hasn't gone unnoticed amongst everyone else. But yeah, I mean, I guess he just let his personal relationships cloud his judgment, because obviously you'd want to pick Kara. It's weird that he just, I mean, it's not like Kara would personally like purposely lose just to spite Tony. She wouldn't do that. So it's just weird to not just pair yourself with the best person.
Yeah, I was also surprised by that. I was also surprised because Anissa had this weird comment of like, oh, like he put me with someone who he thought I would lose with. Like, I thought this was a big compliment to Anissa. Like, I didn't think why would Anissa think this was like a bad pairing for her? If anything, it was a semi bad pairing for Derek.
Right. Another one who needs to like look themselves in the mirror and understand their place, because I mean, being paired with Derek is a great thing. And again, like these, Derek and Anissa, like they have a lot of history together. They must have done a bunch of challenges together back in the day. Like they've both been in this world for a while, so they must have some history together that you would think that would be a good pairing to do. So very odd.
Very odd indeed. We have another question about how odd this whole thing really went, is from Edward Morris. How uneven were the two rounds? Like, WTF happened with this, like, All-Star Heat number one and bringing up the rear Heat number two?
Yeah, I mean, they must have done it randomly, and it just so happened that it worked out this way. Although, because I don't know why they would want to stack one side so heavily. I don't see the benefit to doing that. So it must have just been a really weird random draw that it worked out this way.
Yeah, it was crazy. So it's Bananas and Jenna, CT and Kara, Tori and Tony, Derek and Issa, Leroy, Camilla, Kayla, and Jordan, which works out great, you know, for people in the second heat, but it's pretty crazy. I think I will say, I don't think I would have enjoyed it as much if it was, you know, like, okay, Bananas and Jenna win heat number one and CT and Kara win heat number two or something like that, or Kayla and Jordan win one, you know what I mean? Like, if it was so obvious, because more interested in the challenge because we did kind of see it split into two brackets. But I agree, it had to have been random. This would make no sense otherwise.
Yeah, that's the only explanation, because I don't know how else they would do it. It's not like they had to pick sides. I mean, they were both on the same heat, right? So it didn't, I don't know how it would have worked out any differently.
I will say Kara and CT to me were like a real joy to watch in this challenge. Like, I normally like watching the challenges, but it's not what I tune in for. I will say, like, I loved the editors on this, on Kara, like going over the wall in slow-mo, just no hesitation, just like pure athleticism. I like found myself applauding by myself watching on my laptop when they won. I don't know. I really liked this challenge and I liked how Kara and CT performed.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kara with CT is probably like my favorite Kara. I think she has like a certain just like pleasant happiness about her that I do actually enjoy. Like when she was like and I'm gonna now let CTE do what he does best is smash when he smashed like the chest at the end. Like that was very funny. So yeah, that's the Kara with CTE is a good Kara to have.
The bottom two teams finish out Derek and Issa and Tony and Tori. I loved this entry from Judere Almario, who said Tori found herself in the bottom for the first time this season. Was being paired with Tony the number one reason? Chin scratch emoji.
Thumbs up emoji.
But was being paired with Tony the number one
reason? Probably. I mean, it's also like, as you said, it's a stacked grouping. So, I mean, honestly, any one of these pairs could have been in the bottom and I wouldn't really have been surprised. But seeing Tony there is definitely not a surprise.
I mean, yeah, in this pack, I would have said Derek and Nisa, Tony and Tori, and maybe Leroy and Camilla are the most vulnerable for being in the bottom. So no real surprise there. As far as the second heat, we should talk about something that really impressed me from Corey. And Corey has not been doing anything impressive to me for a while. Chessgate, and I'm not talking about Siobhan in this case. When Corey switched his chess with Nicole and Dario, it's like, how genius was that?
Yeah, and, you know, good for him. Like, this is, they've made a point to say this is the 30-30. It's an individual game, so especially this challenge, like, it doesn't really matter how anyone else does. So, you know, good for him. It was weird that didn't, like, there was a couple comments made about it, but I was surprised it didn't become a bigger issue amongst everyone else about Corey doing this. I mean, it was kind of just like, oh, like, Corey did this, and then it was just done.
Yeah, I wonder who knew. Like, it seems like Dario and Nicole knew, but, you know, how many other people would have known, and like, who's going to really listen to Dario and Nicole? Or like, it doesn't seem like they're really getting airtime. So maybe there was a big deal and the editors just don't give a shit about them.
Yeah. But I mean, considering like it cost, like in some way, I mean, Dario did lose. So I don't know if he would have not lost if they didn't do this, but because he did lose, you would have thought he would have made such a bigger stink about it. It's not like, oh, he moved his chest and he's still finished in the top half or whatever. So the fact that he lost, it was weird that didn't become an issue at all.
Yeah, I think we would have maybe heard more about it if he ended up going into the Presidio.
Maybe.
And the fact that he doesn't.
Can we discuss that name, by the way? Because I think this is the first episode I've really heard it. And why can't they just stick with like Gulag? Gulag is the perfect elimination dungeon name for the show. Why do they have to change it every season?
Well, is it not based on where they are regionally? Like, I always thought it was based on like the area they're in.
Maybe that's stupid. I thought sometimes they've had like really boring names. Like I thought they called it like the Dungeon Song or something like that one time, and I don't think
you're right.
So
I don't know more on
the Gulag. I feel like the Gulag is like a made up word that the challenge created, and that should just be it all the time. Gulag is perfect.
Are you sure it's a made up name?
It's a made up word in my mind.
Why would it be a made up word?
Because it's so challenging. The Gulag.
I don't think it's made up.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And no, but the thing with the challenge this season is like they're always trying to work in these like, I mean, who am I to say? I don't know. Maybe it is made up. I just think they're like trying to do so much stuff like related to the history of where they are. But you're right. It is weird to change. And they also didn't start mentioning it really until episode like 3. Part of it is because we didn't like have an elimination. It was just like the three of you go home. Right. Someone brought it up, I think, 2 weeks ago, that's when it like first came into recognition. And that's kind of why I've been noticing it. But yeah, it's weird. We could call it, what you want to call it, the Gulag? We make the rules. Yeah.
All right, we're calling it the Gulag. I already forgot what it's called already. So
I might still call it the Presidio, but you're welcome to call it whatever you would like. Because we're an open and inclusive community here. I will say, we are kind of skimming over the big news of the second heat, which is exactly what happened on the episode. Samantha Joy DeMott says, am I the only person absolutely baffled by the Nelson Veronica win? Why didn't they make that a bigger deal in the edit? Kara and CT winning is nothing new, but they got an obscene amount of airtime on it.
Yeah, it was a very impressive win. It was for Veronica, who I think when she was initially discussed amongst his guests, oh, she's probably one of the weaker ones. I think she was tossed in pretty early on, or at least tried to be tossed in early on. And Nelson, he's turned himself into like a decent competitor now. Like at a certain point, he's got knowledge. Like he does win a decent amount of these. So, you know, good for them.
I mean, the biggest thing here was after the clusterfuck that was, the cluster F that was that was where them the drunk, all going where the drunk through.
Guy. Come on, let it loose.
the cluster, whatever, the presidio that was everyone jamming their chests into the same slot, section, whatever. The key here, the winner was going to be the person who first gets their chest through that hole. And Nelson and Veronica positioning themselves to be that team was hugely strategic. And then they were able to keep that lead all the way to the end. Very impressive. What I didn't love is the only thing we saw in the edit about it was like Nelson being like, they tried to get me to Veronica because people think she sucks. But like, I think she's amazing. Wisdom goes far. Like, I don't know. I was just sick of hearing like Nelson like try to make up for Veronica's like age or reputation. Like, just stuff it, Nelson. Like, I was ready. I was sick of hearing him on that.
Stuff it. We're bringing that one back. Stuff him in a locker.
Yeah. But yeah, it was cool to see Veronica win. She's doing all right for herself here.
Yeah, she is. She's got a little crew now. I think she's starting to re-ingratiate herself into the mix. So good for her. She's ready to make a run.
I will say throughout this episode, for the rest of the half of the shit show that we're going to have to talk about, Veronica is like really the only voice of reason in both the drama incident from the bus to me and the deliberation. So I'm giving kudos to Veronica this entire podcast.
Yeah, I mean, he's talking about taking some time off. Maybe someone should take like 10 years off and then it'll be like Veronica. Very level-headed.
All right, so we're going to have to cover the night out. The first thing that frustrates me, not more so than what happened with Jordan, but almost as equally, is how Tony can hardly resist the temptation of women merely in his vicinity paying him zero attention. Like, it's just his same gross shtick where he's like, oh, Corey, if I were in a relationship with two baby girls at home, like, we'd both be killing it equally while we're here. Like, it's just like Jenna and Kayla and whoever are dancing with other guys and Tony's like, oh, this temptation. It's like, no one's talking to you, Tony. Nobody wants to get with someone in your position, just who you are as a human. I know I'm going to eat crow on that because I know what's coming up, but like at this stage, I feel comfortable saying that Tony is just a pig. And like, women being around you at a club is not temptation for you. It's everyone else's fault. It's the temptresses.
I think the problem for Tony is when he's in this the club environment, that just feels so comfortable for him that he's willing to just let his guard down and say the first thing that just pops in his head. And he just says so many stupid things when he's in like this type of environment or any environment that he just... That's, you have to embrace it. You just have to like know that this is coming.
I don't have
anytime
to do anything.
He's out and about, like, Tony's just gonna say something stupid. He just is all the time.
So here's what I'll say, because you're doing a little Tony bit where you're like, oh, it's the environment, he's in the club, it's him. If you even
no,
said
it's 100% him, but this is like, just, this is him.
He'll say this anywhere, right? So I'm just saying, like, I'm so sick of his like blaming every other person for all of his bullshit. It just like was so gross to me. But speaking of gross, let's get to the rap battle.
See, who in the right mind would think this was gonna end well? Like, this was the only way this was gonna end. They were gonna keep going and going until someone said something over the top that they would get all offended by. Like, this was the only way this situation was going to end.
I will say, as somebody who is engaged in a fair number of lighthearted drunk rap battles, it doesn't have to end this way.
Yeah, but you and your friends and people you associate yourself with are like normal people. These are not normal people.
That's kind of you to say, but largely untrue.
And they're not normal people who have been drinking a lot and are going to say and do very stupid things. And when they're trying to up each other with insults, It's going to end this way 100 times out of 100.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you don't have somebody like a Jordan in the mix, this ends clean. Like, and I will, they were taking like pretty big digs from each other. Fine. Like, what Jemmy said about Kayla, like, could have been taken like as a huge insult, but Kayla's easily laughing about it. It's just like, you can do insult rap battles. We saw this in Are You the One, like Tori and Gio, like, you can end this in a way that doesn't end up insulting humanity. But really quick before we get into it, Judah Ray Amaria said, how stupid do the makers of the challenge think the viewers are to the point where they had to insert a Leroy confessional explaining what a rap battle is?
I honestly don't even remember that confessional happening.
Oh, I loved it. Like, it's like he sets up on the bus like what everyone's going to be doing. It was just ridiculous. But I won't dwell on that. I will say I watched this episode this morning and I had seen, I woke up this morning and I had like 25 Twitter notifications and I was like, that's a bit above average. Like, from Zoolander, like you have 5,000 messages. And a couple of the people were sort of mentioning the rap battle, and I'd seen previously in the week that either Jemmy or Ammo had tweeted something to the effect of like, oh, I guess being in a rap battle gives you permission to say whatever the hell you want. Some, you know, loosely quoting. So I admittedly was nervous when I saw this startup.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this is going to only end one way. And for Jordan, I mean, the thing with Jordan is like, He gets a lot of shit for like a lot of things that he does say, but I'm not going to defend what he said because obviously it was a stupid thing to say. But for everyone else to take such umbrage with it, like this was a Jemmy and Jordan issue, I think in my mind. And for everyone else, especially if like, I need to say it's like a women issue, I mean, you tell me if like as a woman were you offended by it or just as a person were you offended by it?
Well, speaking for all women, as female podcasters often are asked to do, no. See, I think Veronica nailed it because she said in a confessional that it's in my, and I can't speak for how Jemmy would have felt, but to me, the issue as Veronica laid out is that using Down syndrome as an insult is the problem. Like that, there's layers, right? It was very insulting to Jemmy to basically attack her physical appearance. But is it, if you attacked her physical appearance in another way, like if you said like, do you fall on your face or something? You know, whatever.
But even that, to me, like I think, like, obviously what he said is wrong, but, like, when you're, it wasn't like he just said this, like, just out of nowhere. Like, they were all insulting each other. So, like, the insults, it was, like, the baseline. It wasn't like he just walked up to Jemmy and be like, he just said this, and that would be like, what the fuck? But, like, to be in this circumstance, like, you know an insult is coming.
So that's, so what I'm saying is, like, if it were a less, if he didn't include attacking a group of people in it, like using Down syndrome as an insult to her, I feel like the reaction might have been lighter, right? If he had just implied that she was ugly, right? If that's what he was trying to do with the joke, just like implying that Kayla has an STD or Corey has an STD, like that's a little bit more lighthearted. I mean, in her insult, she called him a bitch. Like, I think that would have been fine. I think. And Jemmy did cry, and that sucks. Like, if you put yourself in a position where somebody takes a joke too far, I've been in that situation, and it hurts. And I think, like, then it would just be a Jordan and Jemmy issue. I think the reason this spirals into a larger issue is that he used Down syndrome as an insult, which it's not and should not be used at. So that's where I think Anise... People were saying Anise was going for camera time. I think everyone was just drunk. Like, I think I could see myself if my friend was in that situation, I was wasted, and he said something so insulting on so many levels. I could see stepping to him. I don't think she really felt it was like a women's issue, but I will say I'm curious to hear from Anise at some point because I do think it maybe was deeper than that. Like, maybe Jordan is just an asshole in general. I know there was some stuff where he was like shoving people out of the way and people like, oh, he put his hands on me too. And maybe it is like a ripple effect of other things that Jordan has done that she was saying that. I'm not sure. In this isolated incident, I think Jemmy probably deserves an apology, and just in general, he should be apologetic for that statement. It was horribly offensive to humanity. Like I said, like, he should not be using Down syndrome as an insult.
No, I mean, obviously not. And to me, I think the biggest thing was that so quickly Jordan was ready to apologize and knew he screwed up and was like, wanted to go find Jemmy to apologize. I think if he like stood by it or whatever, it would have been a whole different thing. But the fact that he was so like, he knew, he's like, everyone says something like stupid in like the heat of a moment that he just want to apologize for. And he, I think he just got caught up and said something stupid and wanted to just apologize to her and just take it back. And I think everyone could move on. I think Anise and some of the other people were just making it into a bigger issue than it needed to be. Like, if Jemmy and Jordan just talked it out and like she accepted the apology, like, to me, that's it. Like, I don't see why it had to explode into even like a bigger, like, oh, he should be sent home but tossed into elimination to like feel like as repercussion for his actions. Like, that's like, I think even going like too far the other way.
So I did have in my notes, it's refreshing to see Jordan take ownership of it at least. Then he tweets something today. And with that, I would like to, or what's today, the 23rd? He tweeted this last night. And with that, I would like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody except Jemmy. The champ apologizes for fucking nothing. And like, you clearly don't understand anything, Jordan. I think this is why my gut tells me more went on that night, that he was a pretentious asshole, was sort of defending himself. Because then when Jemmy drops this monster line, and I have to read it, it's just such a yes queen moment. You're going to encounter men in your life who speak down to you because of their own insecurities. Just know your own self-worth, surround yourself with people, especially men who uplift you. And that's all I really have to say about it. So I think amazing job by Jemmy handling this. I agree that I think Jordan just says shit and he comes from a place of insecurity. And I don't think that he took the ownership they showed on screen, because then Jemmy later even says, like, if you had just gone to bed, it wouldn't have been that big a deal, but you stayed up trying to defend yourself. So who could say?
Who could say?
But that tweet was like, he's such an asshole. You owe an apology to the whole community. An asshole. No, but I'm saying, like, I'm not willing to just say he said something he didn't understand. You know, it came out, it was a rap battle, he was drunk. Because now in the sober light of day, he's acting like a complete dick about it on Twitter. Oh, shoot. I didn't mean to say that. He's acting a complete jerk about it on Twitter. And so I was with you, honestly, a little bit in my notes, at least, like, okay, like, he was drunk. This wasn't acceptable. He understands that, but he doesn't understand.
Look, if he doesn't understand, then what I said is not true. Then he's in the wrong and he should, like, learn better or whatever. But all I can talk about is from the show. It's hard to dig in the context from tweets, but from the show, it seemed like he, like, knew what he did was wrong. And even, like, when he was nominated, he said, like, I, again, want to openly apologize to Jemmy. So from that, that's all I can get from. But obviously, if he's not really apologetic, then he's just a jerk.
Right. And I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not just an apology to Jemmy. Right. And so when he says, I apologize to nobody, I apologize for nothing. I mean, screw you. And I'm not apologizing for saying that. John Densford says, is Jordan the biggest I can dish it, but I can't take it person on the franchise? What a fun question.
It's a fun question, but I don't see how that applies here. Like, where can he not take it from this situation?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even think in that respect. I just thought I could list maybe 15 other people who would fall into this contest, and we could do a whole podcast on who's the biggest hypocrite on the challenge.
Yeah, I mean, you could easily say Bananas is one of the biggest one, but for Jordan, I think, if anything, he takes a lot of shit. So it's weird that, I mean, what did he not take in this episode either? So that was like a weird
responsibility. Michelle Dola says, I was excited to see Derek return this season, but he hasn't gotten much air time. Why did I put this here? Hold on. Okay, I don't know why I put this here. Sorry. Moving on.
Wow, what a tease.
Well, I guess we could just segue to this question, but I think I meant to put it at the end.
We're here. Let's do it. Let's rip.
All right, this is a rough transition even for me. Michelle Dola says, I was excited to see Derek return this season, but he hasn't gotten much airtime thus far compared to some other vets. Do you think he'll become a bigger figure towards the latter part of the season or later part of the season? Or do you think he's laying so low he doesn't have much impact during the season?
I mean, I think this kind of fits Derek's personality a little more. Like in the big group, he's not really one to cause drama and fight. So I think he'll become more of a bigger character when there's less people and it's more about the actual show.
Fair enough. Who can say? I threw myself so far off with that one. I don't even know what the hell, you know, sometimes, you know, you take a week off.
You lose your whole rhythm.
All right. So here's again during the deliberation where I will say that Veronica to me is the only one making sense between the Marie Kayla debate.
All right. So what's your rationale?
I think you sent her in already. You already pissed her off. You have nothing else to lose. And she's a tough competitor, so who gives a shit? She can't keep coming after everyone. Kara, with this, like, really annoying, like, I see what Veronica's trying to do. Like, she's just trying to send the same person in, and, like, she's a strong competitor. No chance. It's like, what does that mean, Kara? Like, did Kara... I don't get it. Like, she didn't really communicate it in the way that the guys did, where Bananas was saying, okay, I don't want to send a strong player home because then they'll come after me. But she just almost was like, I'm overpowering Veronica with my decision. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Veronica was clearly, like, that's, I mean, that's like challenge 101. Once someone has, like, the reputation of always being tossed in, just keep tossing them in. Because, I mean, it's a great point. It's like, they can't come after everyone. Like, they can be mad at you, but, you know, at the end of the day, they only have one vote for themselves, so they can't vote in everyone at once. So it's, I mean, it sucks when you're like that person who's tossed in and you keep going and going and going, but that's usually the way this goes, especially in the first half of the season.
And then I will say the Marie thing was frustrating to me only because, like, they attribute this whole thing to Marie being such good friends with Jenna and Kayla and turning on her friend Jenna immediately. And my reaction is to that, I don't think the edit did a good job of really emphasizing their friendship to feel the betrayal of this move for it to then have this ripple effect. Or is that just me?
No, I'm 100% with you. I think me and Dan discussed this, the fact that we had no idea they were even friends. You know, all we saw from Marie was whining to target Jenna and Kayla because, oh, they're such a strong duo and they're both good competitors. So it was the perfect time to target both of them and get one of them out. And now it's just like she had like a weird buyer's remorse, especially at the fact that Jenna was able to come back in the house. So, like, I'm with you. I did not understand Marie and Jenna's friendship going in.
And if we had ended there, right? Like, if it had ended last week, I would have been okay. Like, I didn't get it, but then Jenna's like, we had a friendship outside of this or whatever. Fine. The fact that it carries over in the storyline enough where Marie gets voted in and the sole reason is, it at least is attributed to that. We should have seen more of that in the first couple of episodes. Mm-hmm. But who am I?
Yeah, and I mean, it's weird that they would focus on that because Veronica's logic was one that makes the most sense. Like, she's already tossed in. She can't be mad at everyone. Let's just keep tossing her in. If she keeps knocking people out, great. Or she just goes home, and then who cares if she's mad at people?
Right. What did you think of the way the guys' deliberation went down?
It was interesting, the fact that they were so focused on Jordan for this issue. When I mean, it makes sense to toss in Jordan. I mean, because he is a good competitor. So the fact that they had, I guess, like a reason to toss in Jordan, as opposed to being like going down the Corey route, being like, oh, I'm targeting all the big guns. So the fact that they had like a differing reason that they can go after a strong competitor without saying they're just going after a strong competitor, I think they all kind of like just jumped on that.
It makes sense. I mean, it makes sense to me. One thing I just want to put out a plug for myself. If anybody, and I did some Googling and I couldn't find any in the style of this one. If anyone could send me a link for where I can get Marie's shirt that said drunk in love and just had in love crossed out, I would really appreciate you hitting me up with that link. Just that's it.
That's it.
That's all I have to say.
So Jordan and Marie voted in.
Yeah, I will say I think the most interesting part of the Presidio double cross thing with this whole Jordan Marie thing was when Derek said Boy Scout walk out as the way to pick the double cross. Are you familiar with that eeny, meeny, miny, mo type thing?
Very much not. I didn't know what he was talking about. I thought that was like a weird good luck charm he was trying to say.
Yeah, honestly, in the world of all of our fake merch, I really want a shirt that says very much not. I need to go shopping. Maybe I don't know what's gotten into me.
It's almost Labor Day sale, so there you go.
Love Brian on a budget.
Hey, moving again sucks. So when you're looking to move, you focus on what are the sales that I can capitalize on. And Labor Day was a big time focus.
All right. Well, I'm not sold on Derek putting ammo in here. How's that for a transition? Better than my question I asked. It made no sense. What do you think of Derek's rationale here to put ammo in?
It's, you know, for like, I think this fits Derek's game because he's not one really ever to look to piss people off. He's like the white Leroy, right? Like, he just likes to be paired with like the top competitors and kind of ride their coattails to be like kind of hide behind them. So that way, if there's like double crossing and stuff, they're the one taking the brunt of like the retaliation, and he's still a good enough competitor that if he gets tossed in, he can win. So for him to, you know, go after like a guy on the other side wouldn't really fit his reputation.
Who are the options? The options were Nelson, and who else was here? I have Jordan. That's not right.
No, obviously. It wasn't Nelson. Nelson won. It was.
Oh, you're right. What
it was?
Why the hell did I do that?
Dario, Ammo, and Tony.
Okay, so for me, I think you have a perfect logic to send Tony in again if you want to. If you don't want to upset the bananas apple cart, you send in Dario. Like, he's not on in your alliance. He's doing nothing. And you have Jordan in there. How? And Jordan's not even, as far as we know, we've never seen him in conversation with the CTs and bananas of the world. So you got to know you're low on bananas, Tonal Pull List. I get what you're saying, that he feels like confident he could back it up in an elimination if that's what were to happen. But how often are you going to have a Jordan in the bottom at this stage in the game?
Yeah, I mean, it could be worth it that, like you said, Tossin and Dario try to knock one of them out. But again, we saw Dario and Leroy were super close. So now if, you know, if that transitive property of Derek and Leroy are close, then maybe all of a sudden Derek and Dario are close. So he doesn't want to make an enemy from him. It's weird. It's like sometimes you don't really understand some of these friendships. So I can understand him tossing an ammo. It's the Marie effect. You know, Marie was tossing once, tossing her again. Ammo was tossing once, just toss him in again.
Yeah, I guess. I think Tony might have been the move here, in my opinion, what I wish would have happened. Because I'm rooting for drama. I'm looking for people to take big swings. I'm looking forward to this stage of the competition being over and waiting for the big dogs to, you know, bark at each other. But you sent in Tony here with the rationale of, I think it's only fair to send in, you know, you came back, send you in. Some bullshit, you know. And Tony already has his eye on Nelson, so he can't, again, have his eye on 1,000 people. But, and... like, are you afraid of Tony? Come on, he's not winning anything.
No, most definitely not. But what about Anissa pulling it and going for Tori?
I loved this move. I don't love it because we obviously, some stuff has been spoiled about Tori. So I don't love it when it's something like that. It kind of happened with Tony too. Although I guess we can say we don't know for sure that Redemption House isn't going to happen. So maybe who knows what we know. I like the move. I don't get the rationale. I don't know if she really did feel like Jemmy was owed some sort of loyalty in the game because she defended her last night. I would make more sense if Jemmy had pulled it and said, Anissa defended me, but why does Jemmy deserve more of your sympathy? But I think that was probably more of just an excuse to be able to send Tori in. I like the move. What do you think?
Yeah, for Anissa, I thought she would... I didn't think she would go down to Jemmy. I don't think she was going to vote in Jemmy just because I think that would have, like, a lot of people would have questioned her just because everything, I guess, that Jemmy went through the night before. So then it was just down between, what, Tori and...
Nicole.
Nicole. So I'm kind of surprised she didn't just go down the Nicole route because I don't think she would want Tori as, like, an enemy. So I thought she would toss in Nicole just for that. For just not wanting someone specifically targeting them. Because when the group targets someone, it's easier to hide. But in this type of situation, like, this is a clear, like, this person tossed me in. So for Tori, she is a clear enemy now. And there's a good chance Tori's going to be in power very soon.
This is why I like Anissa, though, because she plays fearless. It's probably not it's definitely not the smartest gameplay because it would have to be a real upset for Marie. Like, if anything, Derek had a bigger safety net because Jordan was more likely to beat all three of those guys. So it's like, all right, who do I want to go home and let Jordan do it? With Tori, you're right. Like, it's she definitely has more of a, I mean, she is, I would say, like, 100% chance of beating Marie. And then you got an enemy in the house because this is her first challenge. She doesn't even have longstanding enemies. Like, you're her only enemy.
Exactly.
But I like that Anissa doesn't play scared, takes the shot, says, all right, well, worst case scenario, Marie goes home and the house is happy. Best case scenario, Tori goes home and that's one less person I have to beat.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's unfortunate we can get to see the girls' elimination play out so we know exactly the repercussions. But, yeah, I think it'll be very interesting if and when Tori comes back and then if and when Tori wins a challenge in the next week or two. If something else happens that sways her attention away from Anissa or if she's just focused right on her.
I will say, like, I felt like this episode was super full and I didn't even notice that the girls didn't go until about 4 p.m. this afternoon when I was thinking about the episode. But, I mean, that just shows, like, how little intrigue I feel like there is with the Tori-Marie matchup, but who can say?
Yeah, for me, this is almost as close as we're going to get to, like, a complete episode that we can really hope for. Right. Like, it ends with, like, the elimination that we didn't even think was going to be in doubt, but actually turned out to be in doubt. And then hopefully, like, the Tori can just win in, like, the first, like, 2 minutes in next week, and then we can just go forward with the actual episode.
Before we get to the guy's heat, we skipped over something very important. Probably the highlight of the episode for me, although I feel like I've said that six times this podcast. When TJ's creeping in at the door and is like, I want to tell them like to stop cutting each other's throats. Like, you're going for $1 million. And it like flashes on like Nelson and Jordan, whatever. But I'm not going to. Another TJ confessional. I loved it.
TJ loves having secrets. Secrets are always fun for TJ.
I did agree. You and Dane said this last week that like this is like the best spot for TJ.
What, like Hibbs like having like being able to like a little secret to like hide amongst the cast?
Yeah, I forget exactly what you said, but like this is just peak TJ this season.
Happy go lucky. Yeah. Hopefully we get the trivia and then it's like TJ squared.
All right, so let's talk about all of the things happening with, you know, what actually happened on the show and what's surrounding it and the elimination called Striptease. I will say again, like I had already been tweeted the GoFundMe that Ammo had set up. So I was already like had a pit in my stomach going into this elimination.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was ready for Jordan to go home because Jordan, one hint that I got is the fact that Jordan's not really big on like Twitter and stuff like that. So usually when he tweets, something big is going to happen. I saw him like live tweeting the episode. So my first thought, oh, well, maybe just because all like the controversy that was happening, he just wanted to like give his thoughts. But then I also thought, oh, maybe he actually goes home because he's one. And then he was like told by MTV, all right, you have to tweet because you've got to go home. So I was actually ready for Jordan to go home. And when this swung the other way and he came back, I was actually very surprised.
Yeah, I thought this was a decent challenge. I liked sort of like the twist we saw on, you know, a typical sort of physical elimination. But what I just like kind of couldn't appreciate this challenge. I was just kind of waiting and waiting and waiting for the breakdown. So yeah, I don't recommend going on Twitter before watching the episodes. But where was it? Oh, Anna Jose says, I hope I wasn't the only one who, like Brian, also totally got fooled by the edit and thought the entire episode was setting up Jordan to go home. Were you guys happy when he won, or would you have rather seen Ammo stay in the game?
No, I'm happy Jordan won. I think Jordan, I mean, for better or for worse, like he does add something to the show. Like, I mean, it may have been like not exactly pleasant to watch the exchange with him and Jemmy, but at least it adds something to the show. And I mean, Ammo's fun, but I think his persona, I think it only goes so far. So I think, you know, we had a good rookie run, I'd be fine for him to come back again, but I'm happy Jordan's still in the house.
I thought this was kind of the best case scenario because I don't really know how many times we're going to see Jordan after this. I don't know that the demand is really there like it probably was after his last season. The edit is not really helping him. I mean, what he's doing, and then they're not really showing anything positive from him. I also think that, so like, he'll continue, and if this is his last season, then we get more of him, like you're saying. But I do think this locks up Ammo for a return while gets us like out of the cycle of constantly just using Ammo as the default person to throw in. So I think Ammo's done a ton. He's, I think, did better than a lot of people thought that he would, perceived that he would. He gave Jordan, I think, like a very solid fight. He beat Tony. Like, I think, I hope that one day we get out of the zone of just like assuming Ammo's just the weakest automatically. I think in a season with a more variety of guys, as opposed to like the behemoths that were there this season, or even like on a team challenge, that Ammo could really be great. And I enjoyed him on the show this season. So I really do think we'll see him again. I'm happy about that. But yeah, I think it was a fine time for him to go out.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's clear Ammo impressed a lot of the people, even in this loss. I think he gave everything he had. I think this was a very impressive loss.
All right. So let's talk about what sort of led us into the to be continued. Ammo just kind of collapses crying. We hear the producers say, we need a medic. We need a medic. So have you seen this compassionate, you caring, compassionate crowdfunding page?
Yes, I did. I read some of it. I didn't relate the full story, but I did see it.
All right. So for anyone's interested, you could see it. It's youcaring.com/ammo-909970. It's on Twitter. It's getting circulated. I'm not going to read the whole post. It's very sad. It's heartbreaking. It seems like Ammo's coming into a good place, which is great. But Ammo was raped by his ex-partner, and he didn't realize it for a good portion of his lifetime, thinking that you couldn't be raped by someone who knew you or who loved you or cared about you. And I don't even think it was necessarily his ex. He calls him his former partner, so unclear when it happened, but absolutely devastating. And what he says is that he was sort of triggered his... I'm trying to go to the actual because I don't want to...
Yeah, I mean, he said like when he was like tossed on the ground, right, like under Jordan, it like triggered a PTSD feeling for him.
Right, exactly.
And that's like what led to his like he just had like a basically, I think it seemed like he basically had like a self panic attack, and that's why he like collapsed in pain and everything.
Right. So he says during the wrestling match, I had a very intense episode of PTSD, as Brian said. While underneath my opponent, my mind triggered memories of my assault, and I was left in a state of panic, leaving me totally paralyzed. So he's been getting help. He's been doing music. Great for Ammo. Devastating situation. Incredible fight that he put up then. Even knowing that now, it was incredible before, but to continue through that is great. I hope that we, like, great as in, like, you know, admirable, not great that he was in that situation. I hope that they don't milk this so much in the top of the next episode. Like, I kind of hate when situations like this are exploited, but we'll see how they treat it. I'm optimistic, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was a horrible situation he went through. I'm just not big on people using these to set up these GoFundMes. I don't know. They always seem a little slimy. It's like, give me money so I can like recover from this. Like, I don't know. It's like, if you want to explain his story and explain it, like, that's totally fine. That's his prerogative. But then to ask people for money, I always find that's like a little slimy.
I mean, recovery is expensive. I think my opinion on these, whether you're using it for medical costs for music, for whatever you want to use it for, if people want to give you money, you're welcome to accept it. That's just my thinking. You don't like it, don't donate. Like, I just, people do, and people have set up GoFundMes for slimier things, in the sense of and reading his whole post, I didn't get that feeling, but everyone's entitled to their opinion on it. When like the Ari the One girls were like, help us move out to LA, like things like that. My thinking is, milk your celebrity as much as you can. It's going to be over soon. So I've never had an issue with those. In Ammo's case, people can feel free to read it and do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
Ryan Deschamps says, do you feel like this was the most lackluster episode this season? The elimination is cool, but compared to previous weeks, it feels like there was slim pickings for the strategy and drama.
No, I found this one to be a pretty compelling episode. I did not get that read at all. I thought the nominations, the deliberations were intricate. There were reasonings on different sides. Like, I was totally fine with this episode.
I agree. I've liked each episode. As Vicky Gumbelson would say, my challenge love tank is full. We got a ton of questions about the preview for next week. So if you're averse to spoilers, don't watch the challenge because MTV spoils everything. So...
No. This is a spoiler. Spoiler.
We don't do that because MTV doesn't give a shit, and neither do we. PJ Gahan says, with next week's challenge being about challenge history, who do you think has an extra edge and who will struggle the most?
I mean, I would assume Bananas has an edge because he's been on every single season, so that there's an edge. So there's one, and maybe like Brittany probably is in a bit of a problem because, you know, she's only been on for three episodes.
Yeah, I think... the easiest answer to this is that I will struggle the most as somebody who has the memory of a goldfish when it comes to this stuff. But I think with Corey, I think a lot of people are going to struggle, but I think Corey's going to struggle because he didn't even really know why Jemmy would have taken time off, which made national news. You know, if you don't know that, where you been?
And I feel like Corey was in this world when that happened too. I think 3 years ago, and I think that's about the time of Corey's Real World. So
yeah,
weird that he didn't know about it.
Yeah, I'm with you. And maybe I'm being too harsh on him. Maybe he just kind of wanted to be an ear for her to talk about it. And like, why did you take 3 years off as opposed to any time? You know, but yeah. I'm inclined to think he had no idea what he was talking about.
When in doubt, think Corey's an idiot.
Ashley Bedazzlewit says, "Are you surprised Anissa got to Veronica before Corey?"
It's not over yet. Let's see.
It will be interesting. And then we have some more Twitter news from... She calls herself the resident wrangler of challenge tweets for Brian and Allie. I would like to put out that we call Megan Elizabeth our digital communications manager.
That sounds like a great title. Can I have that title? Can I just put that on my resume?
You could do it if you send me tweets.
Well, I can't see some tweets. I feel like I missed like the biggest part of the Twitter week is a freaking Kara.
Oh, right. I forgot you're so blocked. That's awesome.
I see are Tony's replies. I'm like, what is she saying?
I don't even think I pulled that, but so much happened this week. The week, the Twitter tree was ripe for the picking. That's something I hope to never say again. But yeah, so I think it's great because between Megan, you, myself, we're getting all of it, hopefully. I'm just going to my phone now to pull it up. All right. So something I thought was crazy, to speak to the Brad and Tori bomb that you dropped 2 weeks ago, which in retrospect, I feel like I had heard about it. It sounded familiar, but not at the time. It was great to relive. Kara tweeted, "I will see you all at the reunion with my giant pot of piping hot tea ready to spill. I give zero Fs anymore. I'm over double standards." Okay. Brad responds, "I'll send at T-Rains 33 home for you next one, Kara. We all need to learn from mistakes. Respect women 100 emoji. I don't like the way you talk to my friend." To which Tori replies, "Lol, you can't be serious. Are you calling someone out on respecting women? Hashtag boy please. Hashtag don't get me started. Hashtag let's be honest." All right. Then Marie, hashtag no one asked you, she didn't write that, that's me adding this, writes, "The meme replies on this reply are everything." Okay. So then Bananas retweets Tori's response with a frog emoji, and it's really coffee, but I'll give it to him, tea emoji, hashtag X's 3, and Tori writes, "Not period A, period chance. Look at you always scheming, chin scratch emoji, LOL, I'll leave the challenges to you." Which, I mean, everyone I think has to go, I'd love to see another like return of Danny and Melinda in Tori and Brad.
That would be wild stuff.
On another note, Ashley tweeted, because I don't know if she just like got the sense that we were forgetting about her. I definitely was. And she wrote, "Just so y'all know, you haven't seen the last of me. Haters keeping eyes emoji out. See you soon, or should I say see me soon. Hashtag the challenge. Hashtag Fox. Hashtag VMAs." What?
I don't know. A lot of the times these challenge people do show up like the VMAs, oddly.
Hashtag Fox was what got me. Like, is she going on like... Hell's Kitchen? Like, is she a celebrity? Like, what's she doing on
Fox? Is
that
still a thing? Is Hell's Kitchen still a thing?
There was just something out about it. I think they're doing a Hell's Kitchen All-Stars for all of you who are waiting for that.
Huge, huge crossover between R-Hap the Challenge and Hell's Kitchen.
Let's see the Venn diagram of that.
Yeah. We should keep all our circles. If there's like a Venn diagram that hits every single one of the Venn diagrams that we've discussed, they should win a prize.
So then, and we're just getting started on Twitter tonight. Wes wrote, "This is some high quality Twittering, 3 popcorn emojis." And Anna Jose brought this to my attention. It's a situation between Cara Maria and Emily Schramm, which, you know, when were we seeing that? So somebody wrote, "Top 5 wars that need to happen." Bodak Green wrote this in elimination at Cara Maria MTV versus MFIT MTV's Emily. Let's get this rematch. Come on, call it Amazon Battle. And first of all, Kara is wearing a donut sports bra on this, which, again, if anyone could send me the link to this, I would like to spend my money on it. Kara
writes...
The
shopping spree continues.
Only if I get a good Labor Day sale.
Gotta get that sale. Gotta get that 25% off.
So then Kara says, "I'm still 6 inches shorter and at least 30 pounds lighter." I don't know when she's seen Emily on the scale, but okay. "That's a whole different MMA class. Let's not, unless it's a puzzle or eating." And Emily says, "And lastly, because in your head, I'm apparently a lot bigger than I am. I'm 5'8". I'm starting to think maybe she said more about that and I missed it, but YOLO. Kara then says Laurel and Jenna and Tori are about the only girls that could give you an interesting, even physical matchup at this point. Like, it's just funny to see Kara like bend to the will of somebody else who steps to her. I feel like that's like what usually happens is she's like all Twitter talk and then she blocks you or says she wouldn't do well against you.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Especially the blocking part.
Yeah. So then I'm trying to pull up Emily while I'm here to see if I missed any juice. So Tori or Brad, who I guess also had been blocked by Tori, reacts to the Tori and Kellyanne rumors, which I thought was juicy. Thank you to the Challenge MTV for bringing this to our attention. Fact, Kellyanne and I have not seen each other in over 7 years. We're friends that talk on the phone occasionally. And then he goes on to say, I thought that was the most interesting part. He then goes on to say that he and Tori blocks him and then talks about him. So he didn't get to see that tweet that she was like, oh, you respect women. And then he like hid behind his kids saying like, this isn't good for my children. So like, I miss having breakfast with them and I'm not going to speak anymore about it. Thanks everyone. So big hot pile of nothing on the Kellyanne Brad front, unless he's a liar.
Which would probably be possible for a potential cheater and wedding marriage ruiner.
Is that what the rumor was, that Kellyanne cheated on, he cheated with Kellyanne on Tori?
At least that he just left her for Kellyanne, which if you connect the dots would believe that something happened while they were together. But
wowzers,
who knows?
All right, so the fun continues. And anyway, it's like, it's really sad about the Brad and Tori thing, because they have kids and they were together for so long. Very sad indeed. And who else? Oh, so Kara also continued her subtweeting saying, if not letting people walk all over me or intimidate me or speak down to me anymore is me being, quote, cocky because I'm a woman, call me captain. Huh?
Already then?
I feel like I'm having a Scooby-Doo reaction to that. Like,
ruh-roh.
Yeah. And then Kara wrote, remember, you can cheat, bully, get blackout drunk, etc., only if you're a man. Bonus forgiveness points if you have kids. I don't disagree with this comment. God forbid a mother of two was acting like Tony. I mean, I'm sure people would have a lot to say and have a lot less compassion than they do for Tony. That said, I don't get what is up Kara's bum about it. But, you know, what can I say?
Yeah, you would think like one of the kids was like hers, and that's why she was so upset about Tony. It's very weird that this is like the person she's like fixated all her hate on.
I don't know if she feels like she got more shit for the whole Tom thing, but I don't even really feel like she did. But maybe
she
did.
She got shit from like Abram.
Yeah, well, that's not my business.
Which is like, yeah.
So yeah, what's also amazing is now I'm just going on to Tony's Twitter, which is like a big mistake.
Never a good idea to go to Tony's Twitter.
I think when Tony defends you for doing something, you probably do owe people an apology. Because Tony writes, for what it's worth, that's the only line Jordan could make rhyme the entire bus ride. Seriously, though, Jordan is a good guy who had a bad moment. He was more than sorry after the fact. And Jem, you're beautiful. Like, if Tony is defending your actions.
Yeah, and now I'm questioning all my train of thought.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, God, Tony's Twitter. Just read Tony's Twitter on your own time. All right. So a couple more things about Derek and Tori. Derek did tweet, despite what you say I saw on TV, I've been single. She cheated with a cast member. What's my eyes don't smirk emoji? That's a weird choice. This is my only comment about that whack relationship. Hashtag Dirty 30. And then Tori responded, or someone tweeted her, everyone's nosy AF about Tori cheating. I'm just wondering why shit had to be aired out on social media, because it's a reality show. And Tori wrote, for attention, I'll speak on everything in due time. I'm not a Twitter fingers kind of chick. Let him have his moment. And then she also tweeted something last week that was like, something to the effect of like, if I speak about the relationship, it'll reveal how much time I spent on the show. So like, I'm sure whenever that's aired, Twitter will be lighting up and our digital communications manager will be really busy. Derek is spreading rumors that he's dating this girl who was formerly on the Bad Girls Club. Okay. And that is about it. I think there was like more of a Tony and Kara fight, but there's just so much wrong with the world. Who has time for more of that?
No one. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ugh, sorry. Next time I feel like we have so much Twitter shit, I should just be like, you pick one, I pick one, you pick one, I pick one. My throat hurts. Can't.
Kara's involved in so much of it, I only get like half the story. So
well, that's
why
we have a digital communications manager who's yet to be blocked. Exactly. I did pull a lot of that myself, the Kara stuff, but.
Maybe I'll start a burner Twitter just to like keep up with everything.
Kara fan 101 at yeah. Abe sucks.
There we go. There's my I was just gonna go with like ABC 123, but sure, we can do that.
Got a fangirl.
Do we have any 5-star reviews?
We didn't. Which, you know, in a way, like I wish I could have given a 5-star review because I love Dane. But there's always a risk that when you leave your baby with someone else, they're going to like, you know, they're going to like them better. So I'll let it go this week.
That was a dark risk. If you want to leave a 5-star review, you can go to robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes and leave it there. Or you could just send a personal 5-star review to me on Twitter at @CohenBryan_ or to you.
Well, a personal 5-star review helps no one. So...
I'm being self-absorbed.
You can, I don't know. You can do whatever at Lash Tweets.
We'll be back next week for episode 7. Until then.
And we'll be barely halfway through the season.
Yes, and it'll be like 3 people out and 2 of them get kicked out for fighting. So there we go. Until next week. Have a good one.